What's shaking, Red Nation? It is Jeremy Brenner here with another episode of The Dream Take presented by The Dream Shake, home of all things Houston Rockets over on SBNation.com. Now, full transparency, I do need to issue an apology. This was not how we thought tonight's episode would be released. We did record live on Spotify Green Room, our home for all things The Dream Take. And we were hosting a six-hour watch party with Zeke Nwanga of Rockets lead and Britt Robotista from Apollo Houston. Had a great time, and then we ended the night with a special episode of The Dream Take. Now, the room recording that we got from that long recording only played about 4.5 hours of the 6 hour feed. I'm sure it's a spacing issue. Maybe it has to be released in two parts. It is super late in the morning. It's about 2 a.m. and I don't believe I'm going to get an answer from Spotify on that tonight. And I wanted to make sure the listeners had something from us tonight to be able to consume a big night in Rockets history. So we did want to give you guys an episode. It is a short episode. I'm hoping that I can reach out to Spotify in the morning or sometime tomorrow afternoon and hopefully get that recording, the second half of our recording from our great 6 hour long watch party. And I'm hoping that I can eventually release that to you guys because it was a great conversation. We had Don Knock from Apollo join us. We had Keegan Smith from the Rockets lead join us. We had some of our fans chime in as well. And I am super grateful for all of them for participating, so I definitely want to get that conversation that we had. It was about 45, 50 minutes of real good talk about these four awesome players that became Houston Rockets tonight. Really, really excited about all four of the guys coming to the H to be part of this new era of Rockets basketball. Obviously, we've been talking about Jalen Green for a lot. I'm going to briefly just touch on each guy that they got tonight, and we will send this out and hopefully we can get that conversation to you guys. Again, major apologies and sorries to everyone that listened to us live on Spotify Green Room. Again, another thank you to those who supported us live tonight. And man, but a wild night in Rockets basketball. So I definitely want to start at the top with Jalen Green. Now, we've kind of expected this. This didn't really come as a surprise. Obviously, with Cade Cunningham, maybe not 100% the number one pick from Detroit up until about 2 o'clock this afternoon. And, you know, Jalen Green is a Rocket. Officially, it's official, guys. We don't need to play the 1% what-ifs. We don't need to play all the, you know, stupid, you know, what-if scenarios because Jalen Green is a Rocket. It is official. He put on that Rockets hat. And Jalen Green's a Houston Rocket. I can't believe I'm finally able to say that sentence. It's something I've been hoping that I've been able to say for a couple weeks now. I'm really excited to get Jalen Green. You know, Rafael Stone did talk about him in his podcast about how just his love of the game really set him apart from other guys. They did offer a promise to Jalen Green before the draft, obviously seen with him eating Landry's chicken tenders in a private jet. That if that doesn't scream Tillman Fertitta, I don't know what does, except for maybe people who think he's a little bit too cheap. But to be honest, Tillman Fertitta did not come across very cheap tonight. You know, very rarely is a team able to draft multiple first round picks because it's guaranteed money for all guys in the first round, and the Rockets had three of those coming tonight. And they left with four of them. Now, I tried looking this up. I couldn't find any details, but I at least in the 30-team era, I cannot recall a team that had four first-round picks all come to one team. Like, usually they trade one or something like that, but very rarely do you get four of the first 24 picks. And the Rockets got real solid talent at each pick tonight. Obviously, with Jalen Green, he's a guy that's going to start from day one. Really looking forward to seeing what he can do. And if you want to listen to any of our Jalen Green dialogue, just tune into some of our previous episodes of The Dream Take. We definitely exhaust that. And obviously, we're going to continue talking about him more as the season you know, begins with Summer League coming up in about a week and with just the excitement of the season. Jalen Green's the best player on the Rockets right now. No questions asked. And he is going to walk in as the guy from day one. I know John Wall's there. I know Kevin Porter's there, Christian Wood. But let's be real. This has the potential to be Jalen Green's team for a very long time. And I'm super excited that we get to watch this journey from start to finish, hopefully ending in a Rockets title. Now, the Rockets came into this draft with 223-24, but right in the middle there, they made a big move, and they traded up to 16. And I'll tell a little bit story about where I was as I was watching this happen. So I was getting dinner. I was getting some food for myself, and I needed to be able to watch the draft, so I kept it on our Spotify Green Room Conversation, and I was just reading tweets as they came. That's how you watch the draft now, guys, because Twitter freaking spoils everything, man. But it was super fun to be able to talk to just Rockets Twitter and just people that are just as passionate about the Rockets as I am. It's honestly a gift. But, I mean, going into this, I was like, okay, Oklahoma City's trading this pick. Didn't surprise me because I was like, oh, they have three first-round picks. They definitely aren't keeping all three of them. And lo and behold, the Rockets are the ones that came in. And I'm thinking, okay, they probably traded 23 or 24 and moved up. No. That's not what happened at all. They traded the two protected picks, each from trades they made last year. The trade was those two firsts, one from Detroit that came in the Isaiah Stewart draft day trade a year ago, and then one from Washington from the Westbrook Wall swap. And obviously also Russell Westbrook. I mean, that dude was a revolving door, just like it was in Houston with Washington going to the Lakers, man. We'll definitely be talking about that sooner rather than later, but that's not what we're here for tonight. We're here to talk about the Houston Rockets, at least those that are still currently on the roster as of tonight, because Alperen Sengun ended up being the next Rocket on the board. And I was super excited because I definitely thought Sengun was going to go before 16. The Kings at 9 made a lot of sense. The Spurs at 12. And they took guys that I considered to be reaches. I was like, oh, that's Davion Mitchell at 9 is pretty high. Same with Josh Primo at 12. But they took those guys for a reason. And I'm sure that they'll have all of the ability to become as great of a player as they possibly can. That being said, I was really excited to see Sengun still on the board. And I was thinking, wow, like I really was speechless. I was like, this is who they got. It's a great pick. And that's the thing with tonight. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people that might have wanted different people tonight. Maybe you're like, oh, well, we could have gotten Kai Jones. We could have gotten, you know, maybe Jaden Springer. We could have gotten, you know, anybody. Sharif Cooper, who was the biggest faller tonight. Could not believe he went all the way to 45. He should be at least in the top 25. Like, that's where I assumed he would go. I assumed he would go around to the Rockets pick at 24, but they ended up with Josh Christopher instead. A little bit more on him in just a few minutes. But talking about Sengun, I really like his ability to move up and down the court. For a guy to be 6'10" and be able to do that, it's insane. I think I saw a tweet earlier on Rockets Twitter. I do want to find it. Because I thought it was very clever how it came about. And it's a perfect tie to Rockets Twitter. This is definitely a reference you might understand. And I actually really do like this. And the tweet's from Thomas Finoglio. I'm not sure if you're listening, Thomas. If you are, thank you for this. This is a very good explanation of this, in my opinion. And shout out to you on Twitter for coming up with this. Alperen Sengun is what happens when Luis Scola and Donatas Motiejunas have a baby. I mean, that's a pretty accurate description, at least from the little film that I've been able to see. He's Scola in the fact that he is someone that can be shifty in the paint. That's hopefully where Sengun can be. The team really doesn't have much of a post presence other than Christian Wood at this point. And maybe KJ Martin when he is playing bigger than his, you know, 6'5", 6'6" frame. I mean, he is not like huge either. He just plays a lot bigger than his size. But This guy, Shengun, he plays like 6'10", and he plays like he's 7'2". And that's the hope for Shengun. He's crafty, he's shifty, he can move in through the lane. He, ideally, like, you would want him to be like a guy that is similar size, that is kind of shifty and movey, like a Giannis or even though Christian Wood, like there is some Christian Wood in his game, I think, at least from the way he is able to maneuver his body. I think Christian Wood has similar assets to that, similar attributes, I should say. But I think Shengun has the ability to be a really good player in this league. He might need a little bit of seasoning, but he's 19 years old, just turned 19, and he won the Turkish League MVP. That is an incredible accomplishment at such a young age. That's who they're getting from the jump. Now, there's obviously a lot more room to grow. NBA is a very different game, but at the end of the day, talent is talent. And I love the fact that where the European talent is, they are the ones that are rising to the cream of the crop. The last three MVPs have been European. Chances are Luka has a great chance to be the next MVP. So Europe is the future of basketball, and they went there at 16 with Shengun. They went there at 23 with Usman Garuba out of Spain. And I was really excited about this pick. I do think Usman Garuba, if you had to like list like a defensive first team from this draft, he would be the unanimous number one. I really do believe Garuba is considered to be one of the best defenders in this draft. And he is playing right now with Team Spain in Japan. He's only 19 as well. And he is a defensive stalwart. He's playing with a lot of ex-NBA guys. And there is a chance he might not play Summer League just because of the schedule with the Olympics and Summer League kind of coinciding. He's probably not going to be able to join the Rockets until during Summer League. So maybe he'll join them and just not play or something along that. But, you know, Garuba is a guy that can be a really good defender. He could be the starting four, I'd say, within a year or two if the defense and the offense can kind of get a little bit closer to where they are. I think defensively he is probably as good as you can get, and considering the Rockets were not very good defensively last year, especially in the paint, really helps here. Garuba will have a chance to play this season. I really do believe he's going to get minutes. I'm really excited for what he can bring to the table. And then Josh Christopher, the very next pick, 24th overall. He's got a lot of friendships already within the Rockets. He is friends with KJ Martin. He's friends with Kevin Porter Jr. And he is not just friends, but an ex-teammate of Jalen Green. And that is insane. They played AAU together. Josh Christopher was the 11th highest prospect in the high school class of 2020, Jalen Green being number one. That's who they're getting, those raw high schoolers, straight out of almost high school, a year removed from high school. That's who the Rockets are getting right now. It's insane. It's absolutely insane that we have this infusion of young talent. We're so not used to it, and it's a very different way to watch the Rockets, but it's really, really, really exciting. I'm super, super excited about Josh Christopher. And the only issue I have with him, though, is it's not that he's not talented, because he definitely is. If you want to look at Josh Christopher tape, his best work, go to the NBA Combine on YouTube. Like, search up Josh Christopher NBA Combine. You will see a guy that, oh, okay, I see why he was a top 11 high school guy. He's insanely good. And he is a point guard that can rebound. And that's something that's so important. The Rockets were horrendous at rebounding last season. They need rebounding efforts from everybody. And getting a guard that cares about rebounding as much as Christopher does and how important it is to his game is definitely a need that the Rockets checked off. My only issue, though, is it's going to be very difficult for Josh Christopher to see playing time. And he is going to struggle to get minutes because the point guard logjam that exists within the team right now is just, it's hard to break. Josh Christopher comes in and he's the third or fourth point guard right off the bat. He's got Wall ahead of him. He's got Kevin Porter ahead of him. He's got DJ Augustine ahead of him. That means that he's going to be the fourth point guard. And that's hard to break in the first year of your career. And the thing is, John, and what I realized if we're looking after at this is like John Wall is creating more lineup issues than I had originally anticipated. And maybe that's because I didn't expect the Rockets to get 4 first round picks. I thought maybe 2, 3, like very slim chance. I never would have imagined that they would have taken 4 first round picks. Those guys are all NBA talents. You have to be able to give them a go. Otherwise, their window is going to expire as an NBA player. And that's really not what you want to see, especially, you know, you make so many investments, especially high investments. The hardest part about that is being able to cash in on all these super high investments because of the amount of volume that you have. It's hard usually when you invest in something, like that's your primary focus. Like when you're starting a business and you're trying to bring up its value, you want to give it as much attention as possible. You can only play 5 guys at a time. And there's other young guys on the team, Jayshon Tate, KJ Martin, KPJ, that already have warranted a decent amount of their investment as players, as, you know, puzzle pieces to this eventual championship puzzle, which I do think the Rockets are a lot closer to tonight than they were before tonight. Let's get that straight. If we take anything away from this, know that the Rockets had a good draft tonight. That's all that I got to say from that. But it's going to be difficult for Josh Christopher to get minutes. It's going to be difficult for all 3 of them to get minutes, all the 3 late guys, not Jalen Green, who should start day 1. But you have to be able to invest and give it time and give it, you know, attention. And I worry that Josh Christopher won't get that and at the NBA level. Now, he might get that at the G League level. I expect him to be a huge part of their summer league team. I'm looking forward to seeing that. But I do worry that John Wall and DJ Augustine are blocking Josh Christopher's career in a way. It's disappointing. But I will say this, like with John Wall, he does create a lot more lineup problems now that the Rockets have a much more balanced team of rookies. So you take John Wall out of the equation, right? That moves KPJ to the 1. It moves Jalen to the 2. And then you are able to move Tate to the 3. And then you can play KJ, Garuba, Şengün along with Christian Wood. Or you can play Şengün with KJ Martin. And they can. The good thing about Şengün is that he can be a 4 or a 5. I think he could coexist with Christian Wood. The good thing about European players is they are positionless basketball players, which is where the NBA is going. So that's who I expect to get those minutes, I think, quicker, because Şengün can play multiple positions. You know, Garuba, same thing. Jalen Green as well. Can't really say that about Josh Christopher. I worry that the guard rotation is simply just too crowded. Taking John Wall out of that opens up a lot more playing time for everyone that needs it. You're assuming John Wall's going to play a normal night, probably like 32-ish minutes, 25 to 32 minutes. And those 25 to 32 minutes could be much better, you know, it could be much better used across other guys that are going to mean something to your franchise when you're good again, not John Wall. And it's becoming an anchor already. Now, it will become only more of an anchor once the season begins and you realize, you know, firsthand how much of an issue you have with John Wall being there to the playing time of other people. Now, John Wall can provide off-the-court opportunities as well for the team to grow, and that's super important as well. So I'm not saying trade John Wall, but also it's difficult. It's, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like these NBA players, you know, you can spend 24/7 growing off the court, or at least 24/however long you're on the court, you can grow off the court. But you only have limited opportunity to grow on the court, which at the end of the day is more important to winning a championship, possibly, than, you know, what you grow and do off the court. Now, it's important. You do need to build a championship mindset, but so much of that is built on the court. You can have the team of the 12 best men in the league, just as people. But if they can't hoop, you ain't winning the title. So you need reps. And John Wall is going to soak up reps for other people that, you know, could really benefit from it and help them grow into this championship team as soon as possible. So it's unfortunate. You know, right now the pros outweigh the cons to keeping John Wall. But it's getting to a point where we need to consider if the cons outweigh the pros. And with that, I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship for tonight. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. Be sure to follow The Dream Take on Twitter at The Dream Take. And you can follow us on Twitter too at DreamShakeSBN. You can follow me on Twitter if you'd like at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. You can head over to thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets, on SBNation.com to check out all of our draft coverage. We've got Cody on draft coverage tonight, Christian as well. Thank you guys so much for doing and giving the Red Nation a platform to consume and to discuss and to celebrate. That's what's super important about podcasts like this for me, is it helps unite people. So it's a great night tonight when everyone's united on the same page. Dreams are coming true. It's a great night for basketball and a great night for Red Nation. Loved the way this draft went. And this is rock bottom. I think we talked a little bit about last season about when is rock bottom. Rock bottom is behind us, y'all. We are treading forward. And it's super exciting time to be a Rockets fan. I am so thrilled and appreciative that I'm able to talk about that to you, a stranger, possibly, probably. But it makes me feel a little bit better that this makes us less of strangers. So, again, thank you guys so much for tuning in this episode. And until next time, go Rockets!